Good morning, everyone. You're listening to the World Teacher Programme for Share International New Zealand on Planet FM 104.6. Each Friday morning, we bring you information from the teachers of the Ageless Wisdom. The purpose of our programme is to introduce Maitreya, the world teacher for the Age of Aquarius. Maitreya does not come alone. He brings with him the Masters of Wisdom, a group of highly evolved teachers. They work in many fields and can teach us the art of living, how to live in right relationship with each other. With their inspiration, we can transform our civilization, creating justice and peace for us all.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to our program. It's wonderful to have you with us again today. Now, the theme of today's program is about the hidden danger of nuclear radiation and features articles from previous editions of Share International magazine. Our first one is titled Invisible Peril from June 2006, as given through Benjamin Krem by his master, and begins, "If men were to see the state of the world as we, the masters, see, they would be amazed, dumbfounded, and afraid, all at the same time. So far from the reality is man's view of conditions on earth, and so lacking in judgment is he about future possibilities, that without help, man would watch his planetary home languish and die. As it is, planet Earth is in a sad and perilous condition, while each day brings it nearer to the critical. Many voices have sounded warnings on global warming, and many views have been expressed. But even the most dire prophecy falls short of the calamity facing the world today. Few there are who see the immediacy of the threat and the urgency of the steps needed to counter it.
Great as the peril posed by global warming, this unfortunately is not the greatest or most hazardous faced by man today. Did he but know it, man is engaged in a slow but steadily increasing intoxication of the race and of the lower kingdoms. Toxicity, pollutions of all kinds and in all fields is now the greatest danger to men, animals and the earth itself. All are poisoned and sick in their own way. Unknown to men but evident to us, the greatest harm sustained by men and planet in this sorry tale is caused by nuclear radiation. Men have gone far astray in the development of this most dangerous energetic source. Led astray by greed and the false hope of vast profits, they have concentrated their experiments in taming the most dangerous source of energy ever discovered by man, neglecting, meanwhile, a perfectly safe alternative use of the energy of the atom.
Atomic fusion, cold and harmless, could be theirs from a simple isotope of water, everywhere available in the oceans, seas and rivers, and in every shower of rain. Man must cease his toying with death. Atomic fission is the result of the atomic bombs which destroyed Hiroshima and Nagasaki, which erupted in Chernobyl and causes, subtly, death and sickness today. It is that which stands where it ought not, and which must be renounced by man if he would prosper further. Earth scientists are confident that they have indeed tamed the monster and can keep it under control. They do not realize that their instruments are crude indeed, that they measure only the lower aspects of nuclear radiation, that stretching above these dense physical levels are levels finer and more dangerous to the health and well-being of all. But for the tireless efforts of extraplanetary brothers in assuaging this invisible peril, insofar as the karmic laws allows, our plight would be perilous indeed. Wake up, mankind.
This next article continues with the health effects of nuclear radiation, and it's sourced from the January-February 2010 double issue of Share International and is titled "The Earth is in the Intensive Care Unit." And it starts by stating that, according to Dr. Helen Caldicott, a long-time anti-nuclear activist and co-founder of the group titled Physicians for Social Responsibility, global warming is the greatest gift the nuclear industry has ever received. Caldecott has joined with progressive environmental groups in an effort to stop nuclear power from being offered as a solution to global warming. All the climate bills before the United States Congress contain pro-nuclear provisions, and the industry has the support of the U.S. Nuclear Regulatory Agency, which receives fees from nuclear power plants. Caldecott fears that the only thing that will stop the trend towards nuclear power is a nuclear reactor meltdown. Also worrying to her are environmental and advocacy groups that are not taking strong public stands about the dangers of nuclear energy. Although they may not be promoting nuclear power, they are not actively opposing it. Caldecott's passion, dedication and clarity are evident in the short speech she gave to 100,000 protesters at the International Climate Summit in Copenhagen in December 2009. And here's an excerpt from her speech.
The Earth is in the intensive care unit. It is acutely sick. We are all now physicians to a dying planet. The nuclear power industry has used global warming to say, we're the answer. All the money that goes into nuclear power, $15 billion per power plant, is being stolen from the solutions to fix the Earth: solar, wind, hydro, geothermal, conservation. Nuclear power produces massive quantities, hundreds of thousands of tons of radioactive waste, which will get into the water, concentrate into the fish, the milk, the food, human breast milk, fetuses, babies, children. Radioactive iodine causes thyroid cancer. 12,000 people in Belarus have thyroid cancer. Think about it. Radioactive strontium-90, which causes bone cancer and leukemia, lasts for 600 years. Cesium-137, which causes brain cancer, is all over Europe now, in the reindeer, in the land, in the food. It lasts for 600 years also. Plutonium, the most dangerous substance on Earth, 1/1,000,000 gram, causes cancer. Lasts for 250,000 years. Wow. It causes lung cancer, liver cancer, testicular cancer, and damages fetuses so they are born deformed. Nuclear power, therefore, is nuclear waste for all future generations. It will produce epidemics of cancer in young children because they are very sensitive. It will cause genetic disease, congenital deformities. Nuclear power is about disease, and it's about death. It will produce the greatest public health hazard the world has ever seen for the rest of time. We must close down every single nuclear reactor in Europe and throughout the world. That concludes the article, which was originally sourced from truthout.org.
Our next article, which was published in the July-August 2011 issue, is by Gerard Artson and titled, UFOs Help Contain Nuclear Danger. When asked if the space people have helped Earth humanity, George Adamski, who was an early contactee, he wrote a couple of books about his experiences with the Space Brothers. He wrote in 1958 in his Cosmic Science Bulletin that, among other things, they have done much to neutralize the radioactive conditions created in our atmosphere through our bomb testings. Were it not for their assistance in this, radiation would be much more pervasive than it is today. On his first meeting with a master from Venus, Adamski was told, "My son, our main purpose in coming to you, to the Earth, at this time, is to warn you of the grave danger which threatens men of Earth today. Even though the power and radiation from the test explosions have not yet gone out beyond your Earth's sphere of influence, these radiations are endangering the life of men on Earth. A decomposition will set in that, in time, will fill your atmosphere with the deadly elements which your scientists and your military men have confined into what you term bombs." However, the space people warned Adamski that the dangers of nuclear bombs extend far beyond Earth's atmosphere. And they say, "If mankind on Earth should release such power against one another in full warfare, a large part of Earth's population could be annihilated, your soil rendered sterile, your water poisoned and barren to life for many years to come. It is possible that the body of your planet itself could be mutilated to an extent that would destroy her balance in our galaxy."
For us, Travelling through space could be made difficult and dangerous for a long time to come, since the energies released in such multiple explosions will then penetrate through your atmosphere into outer space. When Adamski asked his space friends if the drastic changes in the atmospheric conditions of Earth could be the result of the nuclear tests, one of his space contacts, the Saturnian Ramu, replied, "They have indeed, and we are not guessing. Our instruments have registered those results. We know." The abnormal conditions within our atmosphere, of which the Space Brothers warned in Adamski's book, Inside the Spaceships, have been built up within the ionosphere through the explosion of nuclear devices. As a result, our atmosphere is being polluted by the nuclear bombs that have been and are still being exploded around the world. This is an abnormal condition of our own making. Only we can change it. One of the dangerous conditions that arises from nuclear tests, according to Adamski, are concentrations of radiation, which at times gathered together and under certain circumstances can extract enough elements from the atmosphere as fireballs. With their inner instruments, space people are able to detect these pockets of radiation, visible or invisible. And when they do, they intercept and disintegrate them. This is but another of their ways of aiding us. Thank you. Thank you.
Similarly, atomic clouds that result from atomic explosions are composed of the same concentrated energy, but on a much larger scale. Should one of our planes contact such an invisible cloud, it would either explode or disintegrate, seeming to disappear before the eyes of the onlooker. This explains some of the mysterious plane disappearances that have been reported. Since on several occasions spaceships were being tracked on radar, and in some instances even visual reports were made of them in the vicinity of a disappearing plane, the implication has been that spaceships were kidnapping our planes. But I have been told that because of our inefficient instruments for detection, space people know our pilots are helpless in the path of these clouds. To avoid these very tragedies, they do their utmost to reach their concentrated mass as quickly as possible. However, there have been occasions when they arrive just as one or more of our planes were entering one of these pockets of concentrated energy. Under the circumstances, they were unable to do more than stand by, because once a plane is caught in such a force, it is impossible to save either the plane or its occupants. With their more sophisticated instruments, the Space Brothers can detect and neutralize these clouds of destruction.
It seems that whenever the Space Brothers meet with men and women of Earth, they warn against the dangers of nuclear fission technology, as they did also in the case of Helen and Betty Mitchell, two sisters from Texas, USA. The Mitchell sisters were first contacted by space people from Mars and Venus in 1957, and in June 1959 were asked to convey a message about the dangers of nuclear testing. And this is the message: stop the unnecessary tests of these bombs. For those who maintain it is necessary to show the military strength, we can only say what strength is there to be shown that deprives people, vegetation and animals of a perfectly beautiful and attainable future otherwise. Is it truly possible that such destructive weapons can replace sane, sound actions of better living? It is necessary now for the space people living upon Earth to take protective measures or otherwise suffer the same effects from radioactivity as the citizens of Earth. In fact, according to Adamski, the early crashes of UFOs were caused when nuclear radiation in our atmosphere was taken into their craft through a process similar to our air conditioning systems. The crews became ill and lost control of their ships, resulting in fatal crashes. After a number of these fatalities had taken place, the crews on other ships began studying conditions and seeking ways to avoid such disasters. Now they have succeeded.
And George Adamski goes on to say, they have perfected a small object which each crew member carries on his person while their ship is moving through our atmosphere. A similar object on a much larger scale is used to purify the atmosphere within their craft. No space person ever comes to Earth without one of these for protection to help him withstand the radiation present not only in our atmosphere, but in our food and water as well. Their instruments have been developed with minerals and elements from their own planets, therefore contain frequencies harmonious with the users. Protective objects for Earth's people must be constructed from the elements and minerals of our planet in order for them to blend with the frequencies of our bodies in their relationship to Earth. Research is now being conducted in an effort to work out the necessary details for such an instrument. And in June 1958, Adamski added, long before the detonation of the first atomic bomb, our scientists were studying the natural cosmic rays coming from space. Their research had proved that under certain conditions, these rays could be deadly, but normally their harmful effects were filtered out by their passage through our atmosphere.
However, exploding the first nuclear bomb started an artificial barrier against the customary free flow of these rays. And each succeeding detonation has added to its depth. Until now, the cosmic rays must hammer their way through this artificial barrier of radiation. This results in sporadic breakthroughs of such high concentrations of cosmic rays that our atmosphere cannot filter out all the harmful radiation coming to us from space. This barrier of radiation of our own making could be compared to a dam with a large body of water behind it. When the first small fissure appears in the dam, the weight of the stored up water will rush through with unnatural force. The same principle applies to the cosmic rays breaking through the radiation clouds with which we have surrounded the planet at present time. As a result, our atmosphere is being polluted by these natural forces of space, as well as by the radioactive fallout from the nuclear bombs that have been and are still being exploded around the world. This is an abnormal condition of our own making. Only we can change it. But were we to ban our future nuclear test, it still would take years for the atmosphere to clear.
In one of his last books, titled The Gathering of the Forces of Light, UFOs and Their Spiritual Mission, Benjamin Krem explained that our scientists do not have the technology to measure the etheric levels of energy where the release of radiation from nuclear power plants and experimentation causes the most damage. The etheric levels are above what we understand to be the physical levels. So we have solid, liquid, gaseous, and then above that are four higher etheric levels, which are basically higher vibration of energy. And going on with the article, Benjamin Krem calls nuclear radiation the deadliest release of energy that has ever taken place on Earth, and it depletes our body's immune system, causing more and more Alzheimer's, memory loss, disorientation, and the gradual breakdown of our body's defense system. Benjamin Krem's information is that the Space Brothers are engaged on a spiritual mission to neutralize this nuclear radiation, spending countless hours mopping up this energy, and at the same time creating on the dense physical plane a replica of the planet's magnetic field through the crop circles as part of a new energy grid that will give this planet unlimited safe power for all purposes in ways that cannot be bought up or cornered by any group of men.
George Adamski hinted at the source of unlimited free energy which the space people use for space travel when he wrote, "Their power is drawn from space the same as we draw the breath that keeps our bodies alive. In each case, nature's elements are converted into power or energy. The visitors working in harmony with nature have learned how to harness this energy. But because of our hostility towards one another, they did not explain the details of their process to me." When we realize that an instrument no larger than a cigarette package in the hands of an unscrupulous person could, with this power, destroy a form without leaving a trace, we can understand their hesitancy in sharing such knowledge with us. With their knowledge of the use and control over energies of the universe, according to the Master from Venus in the book Inside the Spaceships, we could, if we wished, nullify your force with our greater force. But remember what you have been told. We do not kill our fellow man, even in self-defense.
And hence, George Adamski said, we have much growing to do before it will be safe for us to be given a full understanding of the natural forces that they have harnessed for propelling their ships. For the same energy can be perverted for terrible destruction as easily as it can be used for the progress of mankind. As told in the book Inside the Spaceships, our scientists are working towards this end and in time undoubtedly will discover how to utilize this power of the universe. But then the use made of it will be our responsibility. So let us hope that before nature unlocks her secret for us, we will have progressed much further along the pathway of compassionate fellowship. And that concludes Gerard Artson's article. And I think that's all we have time for.
It is all we have time for. So I'd just like to sign off for today. We've got a website, shareinternational.org, or you may email us. Thank you very much.